Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this morning I have a question for you. I actually want some answers from the congregation. So when you think about this, think of the answer to this, everyone. What's the most beautiful city you've ever been in? And not one that you saw in National Geographic or something. The most beautiful city that you yourself have ever visited, right? Think of that city. And I want a couple of people to share with us, actually, what is that city?
Detroit.
So everybody's, you know, surprised. What's beautiful about Detroit?
What it used to be.
Yeah, what it used to be. Although Detroit's coming back, right? Down toward the water, it's... Detroit was called the Paris of the Midwest in the old days. Everybody know that, right? It's not that now. Rome, Italy. I don't have to ask you why it's beautiful. It is. It is beautiful. Not Detroit. They both have some broken down buildings in them, but let's take one more beautiful city.
Honolulu.
I heard of Honolulu and of Chicago. I'm not sure about the Chicago thing either. But who said Chicago, by the way? Oh, Chicago. But downtown, right? Yeah, absolutely. Honolulu. What's beautiful about Honolulu?
It's just beautiful.
Yeah. It's a good place to go, too. Cost of living, different question. Here's my answer. Washington, D.C. I haven't been everywhere, but you guys know I grew up in Alexandria, Virginia. I Googled this. My house was 7 miles from the White House. Washington, D.C., the classical architecture, the history. At nighttime, it's absolutely gorgeous. The monuments are lit up. It's a beautiful city. I lived there for 30 years. Every single year, we went many times, but one of my favorite memories as a child is every year we went to the National Christmas Tree. And you've seen it on TV, big tree, 50 trees around it, right? Every state in the country has a tree with ornaments unique to their state. It's wonderful. It's cold in December and January. And I remember all the adults complaining. I was a kid, I didn't think it was cold at all. There was a Yule log, there was reindeer. Washington, D.C. is beautiful. Now, think of your beautiful city, then go to Luke 21, and what are they doing? Where are they? They're in Jerusalem. Is it a beautiful city? It is. So several men in the Bible are named Herod. All of them are tyrants, evil, vicious men. But they're builders, as tyrants often are. They killed their enemies, but they built a beautiful city to say, look at our beautiful city. And this is what's happening. So if they're in Jerusalem, late in the Gospels, where are they on the timeline? Last week of Jesus' life, right? Jesus, we don't know which day it is, but one of the weekdays, they're in Jerusalem. Jesus is headed to the cross, right? Irretrievably headed to the cross to die for the sins of the people. He's probably thinking of where he's headed. And what are the disciples doing? Being impressed by the city. They are saying, look how fabulous this city is. And it is. Just like Rome, in fact. Like Rome is for a Catholic. It's not just a capital of the nation, but it's the temple and the altar and the sacrifices. And they're saying, Jesus, look at this place. So think of that, a beautiful city. It's wonderful to be in a beautiful city. It's wonderful to look at it and be amazed. And with all that going, they're at the mountaintop, right? Beautiful town, really loving it. What does Jesus say? He says, you see all this? None of this will last. Every stone will be thrown down. And this is the painful message of this passage. And it's very simple. But we have to notice it. Everything on earth is temporary. How many things on earth are temporary? All of it. All of it. So it raises the question, in what do we put our hope, right? The beauty of the city? The height of the stock market? My retirement fund? My house value? Which in South Carolina is going up, right? In Connecticut, where I used to be, it's going down. That's what happens when people flee your state, right? Everything is temporary. Can a city fall? Yeah. When I say Washington, D.C., it's always funny. I grew up there. I think Washington, D.C. is beautiful. Now, let's think about this. When I say to normal people the words Washington, D.C., what are they thinking about? They're thinking about taxes. They're thinking about politics. They're thinking about corruption and crime. We're thinking about people who go to Washington, D.C., and people say they're going to go to Washington, D.C. and fix the country, and what do they wind up doing? Leaving rich. Right? Both parties. I'm not attacking anyone. And so people go, everybody in Washington, D.C. says, you know, Senator so-and-so came here to do good and he wound up doing very well. That's an old D.C. joke. In the committee of a chairman, how do you have a job where you make $100,000 a year and retire with hundreds of millions of dollars of net worth?
Kickbacks.
Yeah. So when I say Washington, D.C., see, to me, in my childhood, Washington, D.C. is beautiful. Has it grown corrupt? Yeah. So the disciples were terrified. Jesus, we're loving the city. You're saying nothing will stand. Jesus is saying to all of us, lots of stuff you build on is stubble. Right? The job, the retirement fund, your house value. Can nations fall? If a nation turns away from God, can it fall? Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. Rome fell. Right? So they asked an after question, when? But I want to get to that. There's the beginning, a middle, and an end of this text. The beginning is Jerusalem, beautiful city. But I want us to go to the end because we have to have this. Everything on earth is temporary, but the last verse I read was this. Luke 21:28. This is the memory verse. And after I say this, you'll basically have the sermon and you can ignore the rest of what I'm saying. The first part of the sermon is this. Everything on earth is temporary. Luke 21:28. Jesus says, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because what? Because your redemption is drawing near. There is one permanent thing. And what is it? Redemption. Redemption. Literally means to be bought back, right? You have been bought by the blood of Jesus the Savior. And that is eternal, right? It does not pass, it does not fade, it does not corrupt. Redemption. The one thing we build on is the redemption we have in Jesus Christ the Savior. You knew that, but I have to say it to you, right? Jesus the Savior, crucified, risen, reigning in heaven, coming again, and that's what this text is about. Jesus is coming again. When? Don't know. But is he? Yes. Kingdoms rise and fall. How did your guy do last Tuesday, right? It's so temporary. It's temporary. They come and they go. I come and I go. We are temporary on this earth, right? We forget that. So that's the beginning is everything on earth is temporary. The ending is redemption is eternal. Now I want us to pick up the middle of what Jesus says because he says a bunch of different stuff, and he says several things are going to happen. Nation rises against nation, right? False teachers are going to rise, some of them claiming to be the Messiah. And did you notice he says some of them are going to come and preach the time is near when it's not exactly all the time. The time is always near, but it's not, you know, it hasn't happened yet. There's actually going to be false end times preachers. That's one of the signs. Don't believe everything you hear. When you hear of wars and uprisings, don't be frightened. Fear not, right, the old translations say. Earthquakes, famines, pestilences. Remember we used to read pestilences and we thought that sounded medieval? After COVID, it sounds pretty modern. Now here's the thing. We would hear those things and say, wow, that's a terrifying passage. Who came to church to hear that? And so it is terrifying, but there's the other funny thing about it, when you read those things, what does it sound like? It sounds like the news, right? It sounds like the headline. So we want to get this. Jesus is saying these things go on, but none of these things are given so that you can date the coming of the Lord. You can't read the headlines and say Jesus is coming back in 2023. Maybe he is. Well, he could come back tomorrow. He could come back this afternoon. He'd be fine by me, right? Might come in 100 years. Nothing about this dates the date, but it tells you not when, but that, right? There is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is temporary. The Lord Jesus is coming, right? Fall of Jerusalem, he starts to talk about these things. Jesus talks about two things. He talks about the fall of Jerusalem. We know when that is. That's AD 70. He talks about the last day. Why does he talk about them together? Because people saw the fall of Jerusalem and many were terrified. And Jesus says, whenever you see cataclysms, think this world is temporary. Right? This world is temporary. The Lord is coming. Now, some frightening stuff in the chapter, but bearing in mind your redemption is drawing near. But I have to talk about that he says that we will be persecuted. I want us to hear this. They will seize you and persecute you, hand you over to synagogues, put you in prisons. You will be brought before kings and governors. I love that phrase. Jesus says you're going to be brought before kings and governors. Why is that important? Jesus himself in a couple more days is going to be where? Standing before the governor, right? So bear that in mind, right? But as you can be persecuted. And he says, that's your chance to bear testimony to me. I love verse 14. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. I'm not sure I love the translation right there, because when he says not to worry beforehand, the Greek word means like to prepare a speech. I want you to know what that does and doesn't mean. Some pastors read that and say, I don't have to work on my sermon because Jesus said I shouldn't prepare my speech. That's not what that means. Am I right, chaplain? No, he doesn't mean don't prepare your sermon, but he does mean this. Have you ever talked to somebody and you're trying to engage in a conversation and it's very clear that they're like just reading a script in their head and it's not engaged, just kind of phony? Jesus is saying he wants you to engage the world. He wants you to speak to the world, but he doesn't want you to like memorize. You see what I'm saying? I'll make this point, then that point, right? Does that make sense? So don't be phony. Engage. You're always supposed to grow in your faith, grow, and then speak. But he does say this, when you speak, who's speaking? He is. He says, I will give you words. So sometimes you'll be speaking to somebody and you'll be thinking, oh, this is a frightening situation. The Lord will give you the words, right? That's a promise of the Lord. And then I want us to, there's another funny phrase here, two verses that seem to contradict. He says, you'll be betrayed by parents, by siblings, relatives, and friends. Here's the funny verse. They'll put some of you to death, two verses later, but not a hair of your head will perish. Wait a minute. They're going to put some of you to death, but not a hair of your head will perish. What's Jesus thinking about? Right? What's Jesus always thinking about? Right? The long term. The long term. Can the world persecute you up to and including kill you? Can they touch your soul? Nope. That's Matthew 10:28. Jesus said, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body and cannot kill the soul. Right? That's clearly what he's talking about. You might go through whatever on earth. You belong to the Lord and always will. You're his, right? That's said. And that being said, so I want to say persecution. I want to close with this. Persecution, posture. Persecution, then posture. And that is verse 28 again. And I want to notice something about the word. When these things begin to take place, do what? Stand up. So I looked up the word. In Greek, the word is anakupto. That's two words stuck together. Ana plus kupto. Anakupto means stand up. So I decided to look it up. Kupto, so one half is ana. Kupto means to stoop down. How does anakupto mean to stand up? This is what it means. When we go through difficulty, what's our tendency? To shrink. To do this. Literally, the Bible regularly says so-and-so let their face fall. It's actually descriptive. The next hardship does what? Right? Anakupto. Kupto means to stoop down. Ana means to get up from that. People who were stooped are going to what? Get up. Rise up. What's going to come? Oh, these things. That's what he says. Long chapter. These things. What things? All that. When these things happen, what? Get up. Lift up your heads. Don't let your face shrink. Don't let your countenance fall, right? That's the old language. What's the posture of a Christian? head up, right? We bow before the Lord, but nobody else, right? We will not bend the knee before the governor. We will not bend the knee before the persecutor, right? Why? Christ is Lord and nobody else, right? Respectful, polite, yes. Persecuted, stand up. Lift up your head. It literally, get up. That's what he's saying. Get up, look up. That's your posture. Christ the Lord is coming. That is not fearful. That's your redemption. Amen. Let me stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.